Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Here's my question. How could DJ Khaled Snapchat the birth of his son when Snapchats are so short? DJ
Khaled! Doctor, how we looking?
We're looking great. We're gonna have the baby.
It's also like, pay attention to your wife.
I got my nerves going. Y'all stressing me out.
Her vagina is literally being ripped to shreds.
I'm gonna let y'all hear it only.
Literally, like, I would get out of the hospital with, like, my baby, my little baby, and I would go straight to the fucking court.
God, it's great, man.
I'd be like, draw up the papers, you're a fucking idiot, and I have full custody.
I will run barefoot to court in my hospital gown.
With my placenta and my other
intact.
Hand. Yeah.
Or I'm gonna eat it, because people like eating it.
I would eat it. Make it like a turkey jerky.
Let's see what Chef D got for breakfast.
Hold on, I'm gonna vom.
Oh, but it's supposed to be good for you.
Right, I know. But I hated that you said turkey jerky. You know, like, it just made me gag.
Or instead of turkey jerky, you can make it like a little pill. So, you like, it's like you take
vitamins.
Yeah,
take, like, pills. That seems easier to me. I don't need to, like, go camping and chew on my placenta like a turkey jerky. I don't need to eat it in my car in traffic.
But maybe you might.
No, I can just do it in the morning, like, with water. I just don't need to, like, have it on the go. I don't need my placenta on the go.
What if we can make, like, placenta ice cream? Ice
cream! I don't need to have it on a hot summer's day. I just need to take the pill capsule to give me the benefits of it. You know, like, I don't need it blended. I don't need it in a margarita as a garnish.
Ooh! We promise you we wouldn't be gone for long. And what do you know? We didn't lie. I'm Phoebe Robinson. Doi.
And I'm Jessica Williams. Adur doi.
And this is a Two Dope Queens bonus episode. Ooh.
Guys, gals, gender nonconforming individuals, we've got so many good surprises to tide you over until the launch of season 3. And this episode is so yum, yum, yummy, yum. Delicious. We've got two of our favorite queens, Sashir Zameda, with some feminist as fuck stand-up. And then we have a little chitty chat with Ms. Danielle Brooks.
Yeah, booze. This is 100% Black Girl Magic. Enjoy.
All right. Y'all ready for our next performer? She's a really great friend of Two Dope Queens. You know her from SNL. Please give it up for the lovely and wonderful Sashir Zameda! Hi there!
My boyfriend and I just celebrated our 2-year anniversary. Thank you. Thanks. I think we're going to give it another 2 years or so before we call it quits. Relationships are hard. They're so hard. I feel like when I was younger, I saw a lot of movies and TV things where if a woman found, like, a stray hair in her bed or in her bedroom, she would know that her husband was cheating on her, like, because it didn't belong to her. And I feel like I wouldn't be able to use that as evidence now, because I feel like my whole person and my whole apartment is just covered in white girl hair. And I don't want to make any stereotypes, like, white girls always be losing their hair, but but why aren't we talking about this more? It's everywhere. It's on my shoes, it's in my coat, it's in my hair. And I have white girlfriends, but we're not, like, wrestling around with each other for that to be the case. I found a long blonde strand of hair on my boyfriend's coat. And I was like, oh, who could this belong to? And I was like, oh, he went outside today. Literally anyone. I've been thinking about body hair lately. Someone's pro body hair. Because I've been shaving my armpits and everything else and my legs and things since I was a teenager. But it wasn't until recently when I was like, why? Why am I doing this? I'm not going into surgery every month. Who is this for? And I did some research to see when women in America started shaving their body hair, because I was just curious. And I found out that it happened in the early 1900s because razor companies weren't making enough money selling razors to men. So they started advertising to women so they can get more money. And, right? Regularly shaving wasn't a thing that was like a woman was naturally inclined to do. So they had to put out all these advertisements to convince women that they were disgusting or gross for having hair. And it would be like literal, like print advertisements of a woman, like an old spinster with hair coming out of her pits all by herself at a restaurant. And then two clean shaven women by the bar like, what's wrong with her? Oh, you haven't heard? She doesn't know how to shave. And then they clink glasses and run home and clean their houses before their husbands get home. But they keep doing that. They pump out these advertisements like, you'll die alone, you'll be ugly, you'll be stinky, you'll be stupid, you won't be worthwhile if you have hair. And then it worked. It worked. They brainwashed us to make us think that we were disgusting for doing a natural thing. And I get it. Like, advertising is very powerful. Someone just told me that Sprite in America is specifically targeted to black people. Which I get, because all the radio ads have hip-hop in them. There's hip-hop legends in the billboard. And every time I see a lemon and lime, I want to play basketball. So. Makes sense. But it sucks that that worked. And I did some more research on hair, because I was high. And I was like, gotta get to the bottom of this. And I found out that Native Americans would keep all their hair long because it helped them with battle and with hunting, because it made you more aware of your surroundings. And if something was coming to attack you, you would feel it and sense it quicker than if you didn't have hair at all. So if that's the case, women of all people should have all of the hair. We're at risk of being attacked just for walking out of our house. For safety purposes, I want to be Chewbacca-level hairy. It's like head to scalp to toe, hair. I want to know if someone's trying to run up on me from 50 feet away, and if their body creates wind and I get a leg tickle, I know it's time to go. I'm all for it. I'm glad to be in a relationship for many reasons, but one, because I was so bad at the chase. I would do this thing where I'd meet a guy in a bar and basically have an emotional one-night stand where instead of getting drunk and opening up my legs to a stranger, I would get drunk and open up my mouth and my heart and my soul and just divulge way too much information to this person I don't know. And they wouldn't leave immediately, so I'd assume that they'd be into it. And by the end of the night, I just feel so emotionally drained, and I'm like, oh, that felt good. Felt so good. And it would be something that he didn't need to know, like, my dad,
when I was 9. My therapist said I should do this, but I never do. Like, way too much. But at the end of it, I would be like, man, we made a strong connection. We are really in it now. I don't know if we're going to be a thing, but I feel like we're going to be a strongly connected for the rest of our lives. And then the guys would never call back to hang out again. But I shouldn't be surprised, because it's like my mom always said, why would a man want to buy a cow when he already knows how emotionally damaged that cow is? So. She knew. I'll leave you with this. I was talking to a guy in a bar, and I was just listening intently to what he was saying. And I guess my face fell into a neutral pose because he called me on it. And he goes, oh, you must suffer from resting bitch face. Yeah. Has anyone gotten that? Yeah. It sucks. I hate that that term even exists. Like, if a woman's not smiling all the time or looking happy all the time, she's a bitch. That's crazy. It's also outlandish because I know what my face looks like when I'm being bitchy. It looks like this. That's my active bitch face. So to say my resting face is bitchy is an outlandish claim. Also, my face is resting because it's tired. It's so tired for smiling all the time, or being told to smile all the time, or waiting for my turn to speak in a room full of men. Or apologizing for things that I'm not actually sorry for, but my speech is conditioned in a way to think that I need to be apologetic. It's tired. Let my face rest. And I wanted to explain all this to the guy I was speaking to, but I didn't want to prove his point by being a bitch about it. So I just said, oh, that's so funny that you say that. This whole time we've been talking, I noticed that you had resting rape face. Thank you.
Give it up for Sashia Zameda.
Another surprise guest, and we're really happy that she could do the show tonight because she's been working nonstop. She is currently in The Color Purple,
and Orange is the New Black. It feels so good, right?
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
Yo.
Yo, wasn't it like dope to like run
oh
out
my
and like
God,
touch
yeah,
hands?
I stole it from you. That's what you do.
It
like,
feels
oh, I gotta do that.
So tight.
Yes, it does. Thank you guys.
So you just had a birthday recently.
Birthday. Yes, yo.
And you turned, what, 26?
I'm 27 now.
Yes. Woo! Class of 07 in the house.
I got three more.
Hey, turn up.
89.
Were you old?
Born 1989.
Yeah, same, same.
I made it.
That was a great year. What was your, like, in high school, our thing was like, 07, going to heaven? Like, we had no ride.
Well, I went to a boarding school, and we graduated 99 of us, so it was, like, only, like, 5 black people that graduated my class. So we didn't have any tags.
Yeah, I went to, like, a predominantly, like, black and, like, Latino school, so we were like, woo, woo, like, whatever we could.
But at Juilliard, we tried to do that.
Yeah.
Because we had groups. Like, I was in group 40, and so we was like, 4-0-4-0. We tried to rap, but it was really whack. Obviously.
That's like amazing that you went to Juilliard. My like biggest.
Dang.
Yeah, that's my like first impression of Juilliard was like Save the Last Dance.
Yeah.
And she's like, live your dreams. What's tell me, how close was your experience to Julia Stiles?
Girl, right, no. It's really just a bunch of ratchet people together that just happen to be talented because I'm a little ranging.
Yeah,
so you went to Juilliard.
Into the yard. We call it the yard.
The yard.
The yard?
Juilliard, they call it the yard.
It's basically a prison. Yeah.
No.
Yes, it is.
Really?
This is why? Is all like... of my information for Orange is the New Black was through Juilliard.
Character research.
Prison. It was really jail. It was hard. They made me cry a lot.
Yeah. Wait, because they were mean to you or just like you had to get in touch with your emotions?
Like a little bit of both. Yeah.
Was it like a mean teacher who's like actually really nice, like Snape or something?
Yeah. I had this one teacher. Uh-huh. Her whole thing was like, you can't come up to her. So like, yeah, like, cause
same.
Like I'm from South Carolina. We're really friendly. I'm like, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Yes. Yeah.
This is very sweet.
But yeah, man, she was one of those people. Like, so I'll be like, hi, how are you doing? And she would just like totally ignore me.
Oh.
And it started to bug me, y'all. So yeah, I kind of went angry black woman on her. Like, I'm not lying.
It what was did you say to her?
I was like, you don't fucking tell me what to do. Like, I had
walked out of the room. So what was it like? So she was like, I want you to turn
she was
stage
trying to,
left
yeah,
or right?
She was like being bossy. I mean, she is a teacher, but it was like too much. It was like overboard. And so I was sitting down. I was trying to be cool. All my black friends around me trying to calm me down, you know. And I kind of went off. I was like, you don't fucking tell me what to fucking do. And I walked out, slammed the door, and she tried to follow me. And all my black friends was like, nah, don't do that.
Give her a minute.
So she did not do that.
Wow.
Did she say anything to you when you like yelled at her?
Yeah, well, we had to have like this whole meeting after. But it all worked out.
Yeah, you passed.
I made it through. I got my diploma.
You passed.
Did you fall in love with any teachers like in Mr. Holland's Opus? Were you like...
I wish.
Had an illicit affair with someone who's 55 and like wearing Dockers? That didn't happen.
That was not my story.
Yeah.
But I am looking for love.
You looking for love?
Yes,
you guys.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's cuffing season.
This is unacceptable. You're nominated for a goddamn Tony.
Yeah.
You're on
the best show.
You're on an Emmy.
The best show.
You're on an Emmy award-winning show.
Honestly, we both got to see her in The Color Purple, and it was really amazing to go backstage afterwards and see like she had
my other prison.
Yeah, but
it was really tiny, you guys.
No, but it was like beautiful and purple, and it had decorations, and it had like pictures of like Oprah and your mom and everything.
Yeah.
I love that you made
your
it so personal.
Your boyfriend came through with his mom.
And his mom. And
Miss
it was
Pam,
great.
Mama Pam. And
yeah, Miss Pam. It was nice because I was like seeing The Color Purple in between two white people. So I was like,
how was that for you?
I was like a little bit like, now you know. Now you know. And then I was doing a lot of like, that's my friend.
Now I'm like, that's my friend. That's how I feel.
I went a different time than Jess because she was upstate shooting a movie, so she couldn't make it to the time that I went. And so I went with Michelle Buteau and one of my good friends, Allison, friend of the podcast. And it was so, the three of us were literally just crying the entire time. Just like, just
and I was like, I'm ready to go. Let's get some food.
And then, like, at the end, when Cynthia hits this, like, there are two white ladies sitting in front of us, and they were literally, like, Def Jam, like, losing their fucking minds throughout. Yeah. They were like, yo, this is crazy. They were, like, freaking the fuck out. And then towards the end, Cynthia hits this, like, crazy-ass note. And the white lady in front of me just, like, literally weakened up Bernie's herself into her seat. She's like, did you see that? And we're like, yeah, we fucking saw it. Turn around. Like,
There was like so many, like, and I'm sure it was like at your house too. There was so many just like,
man. Well, sometimes I go and sign autographs. Well, most of the time, 99% of the time I go and sign autographs. And it was crazy because, you know, people watch me play Sophia for 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. But yet I get to the door and I'm not lying, y'all. These people hollered out, chanted, tasty, tasty, tasty. I could not believe it. I was like, you watched me for 2.5 hours play, like, another character completely.
They were like, Tasty, so crazy up there.
I know.
Tasty, what you doing in here?
In the 1940s. What are you doing
Tasty,
in the 1940s?
Tasty, you get a time travel machine to get back here.
Tasty, how you go out and go to the South?
And then you get back in jail because Sophia go to jail.
I think those are just dumb people who don't understand how entertainment works.
Right. That's crazy.
Somebody's like, Tasty, how you they let you out to go to Brooklyn Bowl tonight?
Yes. My name is Danielle Brooks.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Well, our time is almost up, Danielle.
Oh, well, thanks for having me, you guys.
You were fantastic.
Thank you so much. Y'all are really two dope queens.
Give it up for Danielle Brooks!
Hey, y'all. You just heard Danielle Brooks and Sasheer Zameda recorded live at Brooklyn Bowl.
Two Dope Queens is produced by Joanna Solotaroff, Jen Poyant, Paula Schumann, and Rachel Neal. Our team includes Joe Plour, Ed Haber, George Wellington, Alexander Overington, Matt Boynton, and Shanoa Estrada. Our theme music was composed by Jeff Brodsky.
And Jeff, you never got back to me about getting up in my vagine. Anyway, we know you don't want to miss a single episode. Subscribe to Two Dope Queens wherever you get your podcasts.
And please rate us 5 stars.
Also, if you want more Two Dope Queens in your feed, then you gotta follow us on the gram. It's Totes Cute Booze.
All right, listeners, we'll be back with some more boner content in the very near future.
Y to the Q to the Y.
Joanna, why would you write that on our copy? So disrespectful.
And remember, guys, it stands for Yas Queen Yas. I've been getting some tweets about, like, what does this mean? So just a little refresher. Yas Queen Yas, YQY.
But it's also, like, even though that phrase is, like, boo-boo, it's also, like, how do you not know what YQY means?
Well, because it is also, people get confused because YKY is, like, an airport code for, like, Australia. So some people think I'm saying YKY instead of YQY.
No.
You know what? People hear things how they want to hear them, and it's not for me to judge.
I kind of like that, though. Like, that makes me want to choose, like, an obscure sort of airport code. Like CDG, like Charles de Gaulle. Paris, baby. CDG.